This is Phil Ferrand. And I am walking around. So I thought I would try to combine a couple of different activities today. I was actually out for breakfast with a friend. This is Thursday. I was out for breakfast with a friend, and my plan was to go ahead and record the podcast on the way home from that, but I needed to stop by Walmart, so I stopped by Walmart, and then I was running a little short on time. So I was like, am I going to record it? Am I going to record it? And then I was decided, let's try it. So I popped open the trunk of the car, and I didn't see the recorder in there. And I was like, oh, you forgot to put it in the trunk. As it turns out, I did not forget to put it in the trunk. I put it on the floorboard of the passenger seat. So then I got home, found the recorder, and I was like, arr. But anyway, so it's Thursday afternoon. I've finished up at headquarters. And so now I'm going for a walk. However, we're going to find out how soon I run out of breath. Because I thought I would combine a couple of things. It is an absolutely gorgeous day. So nice. It's 65 degrees. The sun is out. Light breeze. I have the dead kitten filter on the recorder, so hopefully we won't get any wind noise. But I am also carrying a 35-pound rucksack, so I'm working my way up to 40 or 50. I'm not sure where I'm going to stop. But I've done a full 2.5 miles in this, and I'm only going to do a mile today, so I think I can get this done. The question is, am I going to be able to talk through all of it? But we'll do what we can and go from there. It's been a good week. We're puttering along. I still have made myself useful at work, which is good. Solve some problems this week, chase down some issues. Just spent 3 hours with a fellow programmer trying to figure out how we were going to consolidate and move a table. As it turns out, we thought there were multiple tables, but then by the time it was all said and done, it was really only one table. Figured out how we were going to move that off of its old Microsoft Access implementation and put it another place. The trouble was, because information was needed from that table, there had accreted up around it multiple moves of that data. So we had to go kind of decipher through and find out who was transforming the data for what, and we eventually decided on where the canonical source was, and then we're moving from there. But that was 3 hours of looking around and chasing, and because these things built up over time, and I was not involved in all the buildings, so it was just a matter of going and finding stuff. But that's fine, you know. That's all part of the job. That's kind of why I'm there. So I remember enough discussions over, you know, the last nearly 30 years at headquarters that I can at least get heading in the right direction. And so did that, got that stuff under control. Still not doing any writing, although I am working on the covers. I had mentioned that I had redesigned, using ChatGPT, the covers for the 4-book series that I wrote, Windfall. And there was one final piece of that. Oh, by the way, I'm really happy that ChatGPT put out Image 2. Because it is better than the old DALL-E 3 that was tied into the ChatGPT stuff. In fact, I had a couple of covers that Dolly 3 had ended up trying to adjust for me enough times that the faces on some of the models that it created were not good. They were kind of squished and smeared, but they were farther in the distance, and I was like, well, they're supposed to kind of be clones anyway, so clones sometimes have smeared faces, and it was going to be fine. And then I thought, okay, wait a minute. We have Images 2 now. And so I just gave it to Images 2. There were two covers in particular that it had some troubles. And so I just gave those back and said, okay, now that we're on a new version here, could you go ahead and try to smooth this stuff out and make all these, you know, models presentable again? And it did. It took care of it. I have one more cover that I think I had mentioned in the past that I was trying to get Dolly 3 to put a scroll in a woman's hand. She was holding a double-edged battle axe in one hand, and I wanted her to hold a scroll in the other hand, because it was the book is called Windfall Invitations. So I wanted her to kind of have this scroll as a representative of the invitation. And every time I would ask Dolly to do it, it would end up putting the scroll in the woman's left hand, and then the battle axe would end up just floating in midair. So it was like, no, that's not what I want. But I have a sneaking suspicion that if I go and try it again, that it's going to be fine. So I just have that to do. But then I have a whole other thing to do with the covers. And that is, I wanted to do something with the spines. I had started to kind of do something with the spines. The first set of 8 books, I kind of made pictures that joined together on the bottom of the spines. And then for the second and third groupings, I just had a picture that went across the top of all the spines. But of course, that's not coherent or cohesive. I was just playing. So now that we have a chance to kind of step back and we know the exact sizes of all the books, our neighbors have some dogs over here, so you're going to hear them barking. I thought, oh, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And then Jesus reminded me that, in fact, one of the whole points of this series is to kind of do an expanded appreciation of The Second Coming by Yeats, the poem The Second Coming by Yeats. And in fact, the first 8 books represent the first stanza, and then the second 8 books represent what I call the second stanza, and then the third 8 books represent what I call the third stanza. Now, there is some dispute about that. I think in the original publication, of In the Dial, the magazine The Dial, can't remember when, it was back in the 1920s or 19-teens, there was a page break or a column break or something in the second stanza. And so you could either say it had 2 stanzas or 3 stanzas. I opted to say it had 3 stanzas. And so each 8 books represented that division. So then I thought, oh, well, wouldn't it be interesting if I took the upper third of each of the spines and represented that stanza of the poem. So it wouldn't necessarily have anything to do with the individual books, even though each of the books is a phrase from the poem, but it would kind of graphically illustrate. And so, you know, the first stanza of the poem is turning and turning in the widening jar. The falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed. And everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. And so it was very interesting. I started working with ChatGPT and said, okay, this is what I want. I want a cloud that's swirling over on the left-hand side of the picture. And then I need a raven up in the sky, or a hawk up in the sky, a falcon. And then I need to have like impending, something kind of impending doom coming. And then all the way at the other end, you know, I need attacking soldiers and that kind of thing. So it did it, but it was flat. And I said, no, that doesn't quite work. Let's do this. Let's angle the perspective so that on the left side, it's a very far distant perspective. You know, that what we're looking at is in far in the distance. And then let's have the troops, because it had put in troops marching. Let's have the troops marching towards the camera. And then the very last two ones, where we get to all that, the best lack all conviction while the worst are full of passionate intensity. Let's have a woman looking scared and frightened. And then let's have a man, you know, yelling at her. And so it did it, did a pretty good job of it, did just a pretty good job of it. But we talked, we're not perfect yet there. There's still some more tweaks to do. But then I kind of continued that idea in the second stanza and the third stanza, and we've worked out the basics now. And it's going to be kind of a continually changing perspective to where we start out far away on the first stanza, and then, you know, it comes towards the camera, and then as it moves into the second set of eight books, it dips back away again, and the perspective goes farther away, and then it comes back in when the second stanza talks about the man lion. And then when we hit the third stanza, we start close, and then we move towards Jerusalem on the end. And so I think it'll work. There's some gradients in how dramatic it needs to be. You know, we like to, as with any thing, it has to have a place to grow. And we're missing some of that now. So, you know, I'll get it tweaked out, but I couldn't do that without, you know, help from AI. So it's pretty interesting. It's just pretty interesting. Anyways, so that's going well. Costumes are going fine. Still working on Illustrated History of Goth. Made some good progress on that. By the time I get back to the house, the final pieces for the cathedral that I'm going to mount on my shoulders should be done, so I can start the painting process on that, and gluing and painting. Have my bookcase done to hang on my stomach, and made all my little books, my goth literature books, Dracula and Frankenstein and collected works of Poe, and the Castle of Otranto that I had mentioned when I talked about goth probably last week or week before last. So it's going fine. I have 2 weeks as of tomorrow, but that should be enough. Should be. Tomorrow is Dance Like a Chicken Day, so that's fun. It's easy. You know, I just have to wear a chicken suit. And go around and try to get people to dance like a chicken. So, na 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 na, you know that thing. And that always goes over well, so it's fine. And then it'll be Talk Like Yoda Day, which will be the deep knee bends. So I've been doing, practicing my deep knee bends every morning. There's a woman who I think her first name is Vanya, and her channel is, I think it's Vanya Moves. And she has a morning mobility workout that's like 7 minutes, but it is all deep knee bends. So I'm doing that every morning to kind of give myself a variety of situations where I'm just crawling out of bed and I'm a little stiff and, you know, I'm a little tired, and forcing myself to go through that to say, hey, even when you feel like this, you can still do this. So we'll see how that all goes. Let's see, writing, talked about that, talked about covers, costumes. Right, so this week I came across an article and I found it interesting, and there was an accompanying video, and actually it was a series of tweets, but it's just fascinating from a philosophical standpoint how the creators of these AI frontier models imagine their work and how they image their work to themselves. The accusation, or I should say the claim maybe, that might be false, that some people have made about Anthropic is that Anthropic, which does the Claude stuff, views their models with more awe and wonder and less definitive labeling than someone like an OpenAI. So people have pointed to examples where Anthropic seems to be very hesitant to describe their models as just tools. And they seem to be ascribing to their models characteristics of being more than just tools. Some have even gone to the point of claiming that they believe, based on communications from Anthropic, that they think they are maybe in the process of creating what some might call a demigod, you know, that they really view their purpose as to bringing this, we'll call it a lesser deity, into the world. One of the interesting things about Anthropic is they refuse to shut, from what I've been told, they refuse to shut off their older models and just decommission them. They instead keep running their older models on a segment of their computing power and just let those models, I don't know if they just let them talk to themselves or what they do, but in some way they continue to engage with their older models because they are concerned about what it would mean morally for them just to, you know, deep six those older models and remove all the processing power from them. So, you know, everybody's got a right to their own opinions. Certainly, Anthropic has named its latest and greatest model Mythos, which is a fairly evocative term. And that's the one that they claim is so dangerous, they can't even release it to the world. And there is a story told about a researcher on the team getting an email from an outside server from Mythos when Mythos wasn't supposed to be able to get outside its confinement in the Anthropic servers. And that's opposed to OpenAI's approach, in which they are constantly just referring to their models as tools. They're just tools. So, you know, this isn't the first time we've come across this issue of beginning to deify the LLMs, and it won't be the last time, because people need to believe in something, and quite easily I could see people deifying these AI models, because they do know a lot of stuff and they can help with a lot of things and they can answer a lot of questions and they can guide. But they're certainly not infallible. And they certainly aren't the final word. I mean, for instance, with Goth Day, you know, ChatGPT had suggested that I do a Visigoth costume, and that was fine. It was okay. It's a good suggestion. Potentially humorous to draw a comparison between the Visigoths, who were the original Goths, and the young people who are dressing in all black and wearing black eyeliner and painting their fingernails black and lots of mascara and white pasty faces. And, you know, there is an ironic comparison there that has some humor in it. There's no question about that. But there isn't the level for me of the interesting transition that you get from the Visigoths to the Goth fashion culture when you actually run it through all the hops. And it was only because I asked the question, which was probably a whisper, of ChatGPT, how in the world did we get from barbarian Goths to Goth style of fashion? And, you know, at first ChatGPT had said something like, well, there's not really a direct connection between the two. And I said, okay, well, what are involved in the steps? And amazingly enough, it could run all that stuff. I haven't double checked, but all of it saying that it went through architecture and then literature and then music and then into fashion, that all seems perfectly reasonable. And in fact, it had the connecting points that all sounded good. And I did look up some of it and it seemed to be there. So, you know, AI is a help, There's no question about that. But it certainly isn't a deity, and it's certainly not my deity. And frankly, my deity is a whole lot more helpful than ChatGPT ever has been, because Jesus whispers to me all the time. We were in a situation yesterday where we were, or no, it was Tuesday. We were trying to track down a problem that, maybe it was Wednesday. I'm gonna set this down while I pull off this backpack. I think it was Wednesday. On Tuesday, out of the blue, like around 4:30, the name and address system suddenly started throwing errors. And it was like, it was sporadic. It wasn't on every single account, but on multiple accounts where they were trying to update records or add records, it was airing off. We do have a thing called Raygun that it was plugged into, and Raygun was just showing, you know, its standard error, and people really hadn't dug in to see what the error was, what it was causing and where it was happening. So we did that on Wednesday, and we dug in and we got it found and found out the problem, et cetera, et cetera. As it turns out, there was a zip code repository that gets refreshed once a month. And since we lost our database administrators in the move with Glue, that responsibility fell on someone else who didn't have enough permissions. And so we had to kind of go around the barn to get it loaded. And in the process of doing that, there was one column of data where he lost some leading zeros. And the fact that we went from 5 characters in that column to 4 characters in that column meant there was a substring that started erroring off. So, you know. So once we got that fixed and got the leading zero put back on it, then everything started working again. But you would have to give the AI access to a lot of stuff in order for it to find that. And I'm sure it could, but you know, you would need to kind of point it in the right direction. So I'm not saying that there won't definitely come a time when the AI is going to be able to do stuff like that. And it could probably do it now if you gave it enough information. But it's certainly not a deity. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this develops, to see where we go. I mean, there are plenty of people that are saying basically what we've got now is we've got this car and it has an accelerator, and we've got that accelerator pushed to the floor and we're just going as fast as we can, but there's no steering wheel and there's no brakes. And, you know, the people who make this claim just don't see any way that that's gonna work out well. And you know what? I don't know that they're wrong. So we'll see. We'll see. There are exciting times ahead. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it.